Good morning. This is Darrell Gunter, your host for Leadership on WSOU 89.5 FM and streaming on the net at WSOU.net. Well, you know, leadership is all about community leaders, and we have two of the brightest and youngest leaders with us today from the New Brunswick Education Foundation, Mr. Ken Bland and Ms. Asi Bangura. Did I say that correctly?
Yes, you did.
All right, beautiful. Before we jump into the New Brunswick Education Foundation, could you share with our audience a little bit about your education and background?
Sure.
Asi, we'll let you ladies go first.
Absolutely. I am a proud alumni of Seton Hall University, class of 2013, and I received a Bachelor of Arts in Journalism. And class of 2017, this past May, I just graduated with my Master's in Strategic Communication. So a lot of my background is in entertainment production. Currently, I work as a production coordinator for WNET New York Public Media, Channel 13 PBS, you know, that whole family. And I used to work for Viacom in their production development department, specifically with VH1. And I also worked for the NBA. And I was a broadcast assistant there. And that was my first job out of undergrad, thanks to Seton Hall's Career Center.
That's right. Ken? Yeah.
Well, it's hard for me to put my resume up against those hard hitters. But, you know, I'd like to thank you for having us tonight. You know, it's always a pleasure coming on the show. I attended Rutgers, and I studied political science and economics. And then I started a community bank and really focused on community development at that bank. And we worked with the Community Reinvestment Act, which was established in 1979 and requires banks to not only operate in their market, but to actually serve that market, so take it a step further. So community relations, and then I got into lending, community development lending for CDFI, which is a community development financial institution. Banks basically, you know, provide large grants to this type of organization, and that organization then deploys those funds into economically underserved markets. You know, this one primarily focused on New Jersey. It was a great experience. You know, got to meet a bunch of wonderful people who are really dedicated to seeing this state succeed. And now I'm back at the bank that I started at, doing commercial lending on a traditional, you know, type of platform. And we are dedicated to making sure that that also pours into helping New Brunswick and Middlesex County as a whole, you know, resurface and keep on developing.
Well, that is great to hear. Let's talk about the New Brunswick Education Foundation. Asi, what is it all about? When did it start and why did it start?
So the New Brunswick Education Foundation started 11 years ago. And it is a nonprofit organization based in New Brunswick, New Jersey, and near Rutgers territory.
Yep.
And it is an organization that provides scholarships, teacher grants, college workshops, career workshops for New Brunswick public school students and alumni. So on the elementary and middle school level, it's more of prepping the students to get a feel for what college is like and really having college be a part of their everyday conversation. Once they transition into the high school level, the organization works with the students as far as just getting them involved in a lot of workshops, career development, teaching them the college application process, how to write a proper personal statement. So once they succeed and they get accepted into their schools, then they then join the New Brunswick Education College Network, where you can still go back home no matter where you are, no matter what school, and you still have access to scholarships, to career workshops, even learning how to, if it's your first year, learning how to really maintain that college life, balancing work and play. And now where the New Brunswick Education Foundation has developed a postgraduate program where graduate students will also have the opportunity to apply for scholarships and learn how to work it out in the real world and learning leadership and things of that nature.
So you're both on the board.
Correct.
What are some of the challenges that your organization faces, and how can the public help?
Well, with the nonprofit, the main challenge is always financing, you know, and fund development. So, you know, that's one of the issues that I think nonprofits across the board are dealing with, you know, especially with, you know, the political climate right now. You know, and I think additionally, you know, we're going through a transition period. Shout out to Mr. Ford, yes, who's the executive director, who really, you know, incubated this entire foundation and made it what it is today. He's actually going to pursue, you know, one of his dreams, and he'll be leaving the organization next year, I think it is. Yeah. You know, so we're you know, actively looking for board members in the greater New Brunswick area who are stakeholders in the community. And, you know, if you're really passionate about community development, specifically in the sector of education, you know, we would love to have you come and apply. And, you know, we're looking to expand our family.
And to be on the board, what are the responsibilities and requirements? Is there a financial commitment as well for that?
Well, you want to take that?
No, go ahead.
Well, there's no financial commitment. You know, we just ask for time. We meet about once every I'd say, to be fair, we'll say once a month,
yeah,
you know, and, you know, what we look for are individuals, you know, who either, you know, work in the greater New Brunswick area or from the greater, New Brunswick area. And we have the board broken down into various committees. So we have communication, we have fund developments, we have program development, we have the executive board, which is really the leadership, you know. So if you're familiar with nonprofits, familiar with education, or, you know, you just feel like you have a place, you know, or a voice that could really, you know, push the envelope forward for us, you know, we'll welcome you to come apply.
And so this organization, I believe you had mentioned in our pre-interview, mm-hmm, that it's been around for about 10 years.
Yeah.
Correct.
Now, was Mr. Ford the founder?
Yes, he was.
Wow. And he's going to...
He's now leaving.
Depart.
Yeah.
So
I think the organization existed, but I think that he kind of
transformed
what it was,
it,
and
yes,
like, you know, really took it and made it what it is in present day. I believe that there was a 501c3 that was dedicated to scholarships for New Brunswick children.
Right.
But what he did was, you know, completely different than what it was.
Well, you know, I tell you, I've had a lot of folks on my show talking about different programs, mm-hmm, and different community events, but this is the first one that I've talked to where you go, you know, K through 12, and then college, and then post-grad.
Correct. Right. Yep.
And another thing that I personally love about the organization is that it really supports the educators, right? Educators, nowadays, they're a little underestimated, and they're taken for granted. And the New Brunswick Education Foundation, we absolutely love our educators. We see them as the core of the lives of our students, and to give them the proper education it is that they need. So providing these grants for them to do what they do in the classroom to make sure that these students are having a quality education is so important.
Yeah, I think you should expand on the grants and what the grants with the teachers actually mean, how the process works. Or you want me to do it?
Absolutely. Yeah. So teachers apply for a grant, like just a regular paper application, go to the MBEF office, which is located in the Board of Education building, which works, right? Mm-hmm. It's very, very helpful. Mm-hmm. And they apply for grants, and I'm not too sure of the logistics, mm-hmm, about, you know, as far as like getting it, but I know that there's a robotics program, mm-hmm, that's now at the high school. I'm not sure if it's on the elementary level. Mm-hmm. And just giving to, and even sponsoring teachers that want to have like little projects for their kids that students in New Brunswick aren't open to, and probably some of them will never be open to, like building robots. And I know there was this huge science project, mm-hmm, that took place at the high school. I don't know if you
No, I wasn't familiar with it.
I mean, it was really, really big. And if I'm not mistaken, mm-hmm, don't quote me, I think it was in the paper. Mm-hmm. It was recognized in the paper for such great work, and MBEF received recognition for that.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
And so the teacher, I mean, because we often hear the stories about teachers using their own money, mm-hmm, to buy supplies,
exactly,
which I think is it's hard to come up with words, right? It's like, wait a minute, I'm a school teacher and I got to teach these students, but I have to pay for,
right,
supplies out of my pocket.
And on top of that, these teachers, they have families of their own, right?
Yes.
Their mothers, their fathers, yeah, they're taking care of extended family. And teachers aren't making a lot of money.
I was going to say, let's they be honest. They aren't making teachers, a lot. Teachers don't make as much as they should.
They do.
You know, and especially in troubled neighborhoods.
Sure.
You know, so the Innovative Teacher Grant Program, what it's called, you know, it's, you know, to add what Ossie said, you know, it essentially allows teachers to come up with innovative programs mm-hmm. that aren't mm-hmm. funded by the Board of Education.
Mm-hmm.
And the New Brunswick Education Foundation supplements that right. That revenue so that they can provide these innovative programs to the students.
Speaking of revenue, do you have an annual campaign that people, of course, you will take donations at any time.
Absolutely.
But is there a particular month of the year that you have an annual campaign to do a fundraising?
Well, December.
December and in June. June mm-hmm. we have our scholarship gala where college students and a couple of high school students are recognized and they receive college scholarships.
Yep.
This year mm-hmm. we gave I don't want to say a number.
Yeah, it was a lot. I'm not sure of the number, but it was you know.
I know for a fact that it was definitely over $60,000.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow!
That I know for a fact.
I'm pretty sure it was over 72. Yeah,
wow. It may have been over 70.
That is awesome.
And mm-hmm. everyone is invited. The entire community. Mm-hmm. We have a ton of community leaders that come, mm-hmm. and former and alumni that come and donate money there. And you can donate prior and through our ticket sales.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our really, I think that's where we gain the most
sure,
donations.
Sure. And then at the end of this month, you want to talk about the other event that we have for the young professionals?
Oh, absolutely. So every December when the college students are... When the college students are on winter break, we have a college networking event where they get to network with professionals in all industries. They're not necessarily alumni of New Brunswick High School, but they come, they mix and mingle, really mm-hmm. giving students the opportunity to learn how to network in a professional way. So afterwards, there's food, games,
now,
entertainment.
Are these high school students?
These are the college students.
The college students.
Yeah, and there's a select number of high school students that are invited mm-hmm. to the event, but it's mainly for the for college students, New Brunswick High School
awesome.
Alumni.
That is awesome.
So after the meet and greet in the beginning, mm-hmm. afterwards they have dinner. Mm-hmm. They have it at the Imperia, which is this really fancy restaurant. I mean, venue in Somerset, New Jersey, and they cater. There's a DJ. I mean, it's really, really fun. And every year they have a guest speaker who comes in and really is just that motivational speaker to get them going, so that when they go back to school in January, you know, they're all motivated and pumped up to just keep it going.
And you know, to add what Ossie said, I'm not from New Brunswick. I'm from Edison, so you know. Being a part of this is something completely different from me than the individuals who get to experience the program from, you know, the recipient level and yeah. then they, you know, transition into the board, you know, level.
Yeah.
And, you know, just seeing the cyclical process happen where you have, you know, these brilliant students transforming into brilliant adults and then coming back into their neighborhood to make sure that the cycle continues. It's something that so many cities around the country, you know, can benefit from the platform. You know,
oh, no doubt. No doubt. Yeah. And what's the website for the New Brunswick Education Foundation?
It is nbefonline.org.
Remember that, folks. You want to go to that.
NBEFonline.org.
Beautiful. And how many, I mean, what are these after-school programs that you put on? And how many students go through these, or through a typical year? How many folks are coming through?
For the college network, I know that right now the number of college students that we have now is about 150. It may be a little bit more than that.
150. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, alumni.
That's nice.
Active.
Wow. Yeah. And what about the K-12 programs?
For K-12 is not necessarily an after-school program.
Mm-hmm.
It's just different workshops that are held throughout the school year
uh-huh.
for teachers, for students.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very nice. Very nice. And do you find that the community is very supportive?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And that you really see the community support in at our scholarship gala in June.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially with the leaders from, we have the New Brunswick Teen Center leaders from there.
Mm-hmm.
We have especially from our alumni, we have our Hall of Fame. During the scholarship gala, we also have a Hall of Fame induction for Seton Hall alumni who are out doing amazing things in different places around the world. We actually had a couple of 2017 Hall of Fame inductees join the board. So that just comes to show that, you know, we do have the support of our alumni, we do have the support of our community, and they want to come back and give back. I know that for me, I was a recipient of a scholarship that helped me pay for books for my first 2 years at Seton Hall. And, you know, during, I know when I was here and I enjoyed I was enjoying my time here, and I'm like, oh, you know what, I'm never going back to New Brunswick. There's nothing there for me. I'm going to stay in South Orange forever. And you better believe, after graduation in 2013, I ended up right back in New Brunswick. And my high school English teacher, Mr. Dunbar, he passed away now. And he always said, you have to come back. You have to come back. If you don't come back and help these students, who will? Mm-hmm. Right? So it wasn't until after he passed away when it really, really kicked in. And I'm like, I just can't run away from home, you know what I mean? And so I went back, and Mr. Ford invited me to join the board, and I couldn't say no. And having the opportunity to mix and mingle with the students during the college network, getting to, when we go and visit the schools at times, and getting to see them, and they remember your name, not only because you're an alumni, they're like, yo, you're on the board, look at you doing all these big things, and you know what I mean? And that connection is still there. And so for me, it's humbling. And I am a proud product of my environment.
It's coming through.
Yeah. I'm a very, very proud product of my environment and a proud product of MBEF. And again, another shout out to Mr. Ford. Mm-hmm. I've known him since I was 16 years old. And he's really a second dad to me. And he's a dad to a lot of us through MBEF. And he's just doing such amazing, amazing, amazing things with that program. And it's definitely gonna go places and gonna expand, and I see it just growing into something big.
Wow. Yeah, and I just like to add that, you know, another reason why I think the experiment has been so successful is because of the stability in the New Brunswick local government. You know, I would like to shout out Mayor Cahill. Sorry,
happens to me all the time.
Yeah, I had it all prepared, but he's been the mayor for decades. And you look at New Brunswick, where it was and where it is today, and the fact that it's been one mayor through the entire transition, and it's because he's been, you know, supportive of different initiatives that have been successful. You know, he's realized, you know, what works, what doesn't work. And, you know, you go to New Brunswick today, and the proof is in the pudding.
Wow. Right. Ladies and gentlemen, we are here with two community leaders, Ms. Asi Bangura and Mr. Kim Bland. They're with the New Brunswick Education Foundation, and they are on the board. And when I tell you that these are two very young, vibrant, energetic young folks to be on the board, I am so impressed. I am so impressed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And they're looking for new board members, so make sure that you check them out. So, you know, we were talking before we got on the air, we were talking about the topic that you raised, Asi, about the challenges of wanting to give back. Let's talk about that. What prompted you to want to talk about that, and what are those challenges?
So I experienced it while I was in undergrad, right? I wanted to get out of New Brunswick so bad because I've been there all my life and I've had amazing memories, but I felt like I was trapped. So when I left and came to South Orange, only a 45-minute drive, I felt so far and I felt so different, and I felt like I was on, not to brag or not to feel that I was better than anybody, but I just felt like my mindset and where I was just so much different from the people that I went to high school with. So there were, especially my freshman year, I found myself going back home a lot to hang out with some of my friends who were there. And I realized that our conversations weren't the same, you know? There are a lot of things that I wanted to talk about, like politics, you know, as a 19-year-old, where there are some of my old friends from high school didn't want to talk about that. They wanted to talk about who got locked up and, you know, who's having a baby now. And it's like, I don't want to talk about that stuff. Like, there are real life things going on. So when it came, especially when it came to my second semester of my freshman year, I started going home a lot less because I felt like there was nothing there. I felt like there was nothing connected. And I just wanted to stay here. I wanted to stay at St. Hall. I wanted to be with my friends. I wanted to have good quality conversation. And I felt like I couldn't get that back at home. So I just wanted to be away. I wanted to go away. I wanted to break away from New Brunswick. And even while I was at Seton Hall, you know, when I would tell people, oh, I'm from New Brunswick, I'll get the, oh, right? And that silence. I'm not trying to bring race or anything, but being a Black woman from an urban community, you know, and coming to this PWI and coming around students who come from these affluent neighborhoods.
Okay, so PWI.
Oh, I'm sorry. PWI is a predominantly white institution.
Right. For our listeners.
And coming to this predominantly white institution and being around students who come from more affluent neighborhoods than I did, you know, they made me self-conscious. I'm just like, okay, kind of made me not proud to be from there. And I bring up Mr. Dunbar again because he's just one of the greatest people that God has ever brought into my life. Mm-hmm. And he will call me at like 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock in the morning. Asi, are you burning the midnight oil? Literally, in AQ, my freshman year, he will call me every blessed Friday. Every Friday. And like, remember, he will leave me voicemails when I would ignore him. He's like, remember, you gotta learn, you gotta make sure that your parents' money isn't going to waste. Just remind me that I am on this campus, I am in school, so that I can not only better myself, but that so I can give back. So I struggled with that for a long time. And it took a while for me to, like I mentioned earlier, it took a while for me to finally accept, like, you know what? My brother is still in this school system. Like, who's going to help him if I don't? Who's going to help him if another, you know, student from New Brunswick is not going to go back? There are people who have left and have turned their backs. And so that's really, like, the challenge of really embracing from where you're from. I can go ahead and admit that there were moments in my undergrad career where I was not proud to be from New Brunswick because I got the look. Or because I got the, oh, New Brunswick. Oh, next to Rutgers, right? You always bring it, they always compare it to Rutgers, as if Rutgers is the entire New Brunswick. And so with those challenges, what I learned is that I do have the ability to change lives, right? Through New Brunswick Education Foundation, you know, and through the mentees that I've had, they've been able to go to college and do the same thing. You know, and it's like, why wouldn't I be so proud to be a part of that? So those are some of the challenges, but there's always a bright side.
Oh, I have
right?
no doubt about it.
Always.
No doubt about it. Ken, anything you'd like to add to your perspective?
I think Asi did a great job. I just like to point out that, you know, I think it's important to recognize that, you know, any child that is in a position where, you know, their family's struggling and they don't have the resources to get where they want to get to through the conventional way is the type of children that we're looking to help, you know,
right.
No matter race, you know, or you know, or ethnicity, you know, or religion. Unfortunately, children of color are primarily, you know, affected by that, you know, so that is, you know, the children that we wind up helping predominantly, you know, but, you know, we're out to help anybody who, you know, wants to work hard and be successful and is looking for some guidance, you know, that's what the New Brunswick Education Foundation is there for.
For the board, is there any particular skill set that you're looking for, or is there a volunteer time commitment that folks should be cognizant of?
Yeah, I'd say that we're looking for somebody that's good with grant writing, you know, that has connections with various financial institutions and grant associations, you know, different type of fund development skill sets and qualities we're absolutely looking for. Also communications, you know. You can never have enough people that can, you know, develop the brand and then, you know, make sure that brand is pushed out to the people that need to know about it, you know.
And currently, how many folks are on the board?
And currently we have 14, but our max capacity is 20, I think.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And to add to the qualifications, I guess, besides, you know, having the professional skill set and everything, you have to have a passion, right? Mm-hmm. You have to have a passion for wanting to give back to your community. You can go ahead and be the best grant writer on planet Earth, but if you don't have a passion for developing the youth and community development, that it's not going to flow through your words on paper. So you really have to have a really, really great passion, not only for young students or anything, but just a passion just to help, just to be helpful, just to wanting to give back. That's really, really important.
Mm-hmm. That is so true. That is so true. And so what's next for the New Brunswick Education Foundation? You have your event coming up in December, did you say?
Yes, December 28th.
Anything in January?
Nothing in particular.
Okay, but let's talk about December 28th. Mm-hmm. And what is the event?
That is the College Network.
College Network.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. For the New Brunswick High School College alumni.
And where would that be held?
That will be held at the Imperia.
In Somerset.
In Somerset, New Jersey.
Yep. And I've seen them do a whole bunch of great things that the organization helps and provides. But honestly, I think the number one thing is the network. You know, just coming into the network and being adopted into the New Brunswick family, you know, not being from New Brunswick, there's just so many brilliant, talented, truly talented, I'm talking Rhodes Scholars, people that are, you know, working on artificial intelligence, you know, it's just amazing the quality of people, the caliber that you meet, you know.
We have med students, I can't remember his name, but he's interned for AT&T, Johnson & Johnson, all of these top companies in the country. Yeah. He's interned for them all through the help of New Brunswick Education Foundation. Wow. I mean, we're really producing great, great, great future leaders.
Wow, that is great. And so what is the way, if someone doesn't have time to be on the board, what are some of the other ways that they can contribute? Outside of course, donations are always accepted, but what other things do you look for people to help out?
Well, that's a perfect question and a segue, because I wanted to make sure I highlighted that we also have an advisory committee, that the requirements are a lot less strenuous, you know, and they sort of advise the board in different capacities. You know, like I mentioned, the different committees before, the advisory group will advise us on, you know, different grants that are out there, you know, different marketing tools, things like crowdfunding, you know, if we're not too familiar with it. Just different ways to make the organization make sure that it capitalizes on opportunities.
What is the best way for someone to contact you? If they want to raise their hand and say, hey, I want to be on the board, I want to be on the advisory committee, what is the best way for them to reach you?
Well, if you go to the website, which was nbefonline.org, then you'll have the contact tab that'll allow you to get into contact with either the executive director or John Bland, who is the communications director.
Excellent. And so when this interview will be up on iTunes.
Oh, excellent.
Which you'll be able, you could download it to your website and all that good stuff. But Ossie, what is the most important thing you like to appeal to the young folks about how they can get involved as a participant in the New Brunswick Education Foundation?
One thing that I will want you to remember to all my fellow students out there, again, the passion has to be there. I know that, and I'm going to, if you don't mind, for a second, I know that there are students on this campus who...
About 20 seconds.
Okay. There are students from New Brunswick who do attend Seton Hall.
Okay.
And you know what it's like to not have the support it is that you really, really do need to succeed. And now that you're on this campus, you have that. And remember that you still have family at home. New Brunswick is your family. And have that passion in your heart to really go ahead and give back the same way that people were able to help you.
Ken, anything you'd like to add to that before we close?
Yeah, I like to add to, you know, the people out there who are from communities similar to New Brunswick. You know, New Brunswick is great, but go back to your community and, you know, start the same type of platform. We need this all over the state. So if you're passionate about community, then you can do the same thing. And we look forward to helping if you need it.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, believe it or not, our time is up. I want to thank Ms. Ossie Bangura and Mr. Ken Bland of the New Brunswick Education Foundation. Thank you for coming on the
program.
Thanks for having us.
Well, that wraps it up this week on Leadership with Darrell Gunter. I want you to wish you a very good weekend. And remember, leadership begins with you. WSOU 89.5 FM and streaming on the net at WSOU.net. Have a great weekend.